Well, hi, everyone. We are at CES 2024, Las Vegas, Nevada. We are here having conversations around a myriad of different topics that are impacting not just our world at Bridgestone, but the greater world of transportation, advanced mobility, and all of those things converging around what's happening now and in the future around this consumer electronics show. But what it does, being here, it gives us a chance to connect with some partners that we work with, some people across the industry that are like-minded, trying to attack some of the same problems. And today we're going to talk about one of these problems that is very significant and very real in our industries, and that is human trafficking. And so we are joined today by Esther Gotch, who is the executive director of Truckers Against Trafficking. Esther, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And across the table from me is Josh Holland. He's with me at Bridgestone, the vice president of dealer operations for our Bridgestone Commercial Truck Group. Josh, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's dive in a little bit to learn first off about each of you. Before we get into the topic at hand and the work that's being done, I want to learn a little bit about each of your backgrounds, maybe particularly your career journey, what brought you to the point that you're at today. So maybe let's start with you, Esther. What has been this wonderful road you've been on, and how did you find yourself now in this role at Truckers Against Trafficking?
Yeah, it's a good question. I ask myself that all the time. How did I end up here?
Let's reflect for a moment. Yes.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like this job found me. I have a background in international relations and had done work in a number of different social justice areas, but had never really worked on human trafficking, didn't know much about it, was not working in the transportation industry at all. But as life sometimes takes different twists and turns, I met the former executive director and co-founder of TAT when I was living in Denver back in 2014. And she learned a little bit about my professional background and was looking to grow a particular program that TAT had just started, which was the Coalition Build Program. So really, this coming out of requests from attorneys general who and law enforcement leaders at a state level who were starting to learn more about human trafficking and really looking for meaningful partnerships. And so that's where TAT enlisted our truck stop partners and some of our trucking partners for really strategic briefings where we would center the conversation about what human trafficking is and the role that public-private partnerships can play. So I started with TAT to sort of dabble in that, and it grew, and honestly, I've just never looked back. At every point, there's been a new challenge at TAT for me to take on, whether that's expanding our work into Canada or finding myself in front of Congress testifying as an expert witness, sure. A little in over my head, but there's always more work to be done on this topic, and so I've just continued down this path. And the other great thing is along the way, getting to work with so many phenomenal partners like Bridgestone and Josh here, it keeps me staying in this role because not only do I believe in the work that we're doing, but I am incredibly inspired by the folks who partner with us in this work.
Well, it sounds like you've had a little time of reflecting on this journey of yours. You actually have outlined it very clearly and well. It sounds like one that has a lot of fulfillment and a lot of value in chasing the work that you're doing. So it's great to hear. Josh is, as we'll uncover across this conversation, also involved with Truckers Against Trafficking. But on the Bridgestone side, maybe, Josh, what's your role? How did you get there? And then also, what is your involvement with TAT, as we'll talk about Truckers Against Trafficking?
Yeah, so I'm coming up on 20 years with Bridgestone.
Hey, all right.
And so it's gone by quickly, actually. And so, you know, my role today is supporting our network and how we bring solutions and our technology to life to service our end user customers, whether that's large fleets, small fleets, doesn't matter. But my role is really centered around connecting this solutions business to our core tire business and how we go to market with that. So we support. My journey to get there, you know, I would say I'm still surprised I work at Bridgestone because it wasn't the journey I set out. I was waiting on another role. That's a whole other story with another company, and I took a job in the meantime, and then here I am today, 20 years later, I'm still here. So it's been an amazing ride. I love the company, and obviously I'm still here. So it's been a great journey. You know, as far as TAT, you know, it's really interesting to me how things come full circle, because I grew up in a law enforcement family, And my brother and my father, both as detectives, have told me about so many cases that tie into human trafficking and the things that they did over years. So for my own journey, it's interesting that I'm in this role. So I have that combined with that I grew up. My mom worked in the trucking industry. So I just really sit back as we reflect and talk about our path, how we're here. It's really interesting to me that these collide. And then TAT itself was started in El Paso, Texas, where I happen to be from.
Look at this.
So just interesting interesting pieces of information there.
By design, we've had you on this podcast for this particular conversation indeed. No, and I think we'll have a separate conversation podcast for this role that you were waiting for that didn't happen, and we'll unpack that in a whole separate conversation.
Get a couch.
Sounds like there's a good mystery to work through there. But let's maybe talk then a little bit about the situation, right? To set the scene of what is the challenge that we're facing. I think some of our listeners may have heard the term human trafficking. They might have a general idea of what that might be. But really, Esther, when you start to talk to people about this issue, where do you begin? What is the way you lay the foundation for that story?
Yeah, so it's really important to start at that foundational level because, as you said, while a lot of people have heard about human trafficking at this point, there is still a lot of pervasive myths and misconceptions that surround the issue. So, you know, human trafficking is the exploitation of human beings through force, fraud, or coercion for the purposes of either commercial sex or forced labor. So, and any time where a third party is making a profit off that individual, whether it is for cheap labor or for sex, where the individual is not able to make that decision on their own and they have a victimizer controlling them, using threats and coercion and force to make a profit. It's one of the worst forms of exploitation that we know. And in terms of this crime on a global scale, there are over 50 million victims of human trafficking. Those victims garner over $150 billion in annual profits for their traffickers. So this is a crime fundamentally of greed. It is the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world and is second as the largest crime activity only to arms trafficking. So it's a massive problem, right?
The numbers are staggering to
listen
to.
They sure are.
Right?
And even when we look at a local level, it shows up in all of our communities. So here in the United States, there is no state where this crime does not occur. It is happening in every one of our backyards. You know, this is a crime that happens all the time, but is hidden in plain sight. And so unless people know more about the crime, know what it looks like and how it shows up in our communities, in our workplaces, where we travel, all those types of situations, the traffickers win. Right? They continue to make money and the victims suffer. So that's just a little bit of the foundation that we lay to make sure that everybody has a clear understanding of what it is we're talking about and how folks, no matter where they are, what their day job is, can actually be part of the solution.
And we talk about the group that you're with, Truckers Against Trafficking. Again, I think people can hear that and say, oh, this is very focused on truck drivers doing that. And that's, we'll unpack that it is accurate, right? But I think to your point, it starts with a group like that, but there's so many audiences that you can reach to help raise that awareness. What, I guess, is the journey of TAT, Truckers Against Trafficking, and how it began, why it began, and how it has maybe evolved over the years to this point?
Yeah, so TAT began in 2009, and our mission back then was very simple, was to raise up a mobile army of the trucking industry specifically back then to help be the eyes and ears out on our nation's roadway, to help see potential victims and be able to report it effectively to law enforcement. We found it worked, that when you equip people with the tools they need to be able to recognize the crime, they do make those calls and victims are recovered. And so, you know, here we are in our 15th year as an organization. We've trained over 1.7 million industry professionals. They've made thousands of calls that have resulted in hundreds of cases of victim recovery. And all of it centers around the prevention and intervention of human trafficking and how different industry sectors can play a role because there's already a natural intersection between human trafficking and that industry. And so what TAT does is we help uncover what those intersections are, and then provide really easy, engaging training materials at no cost to those companies and individuals so that it's an easy yes for folks to get involved.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that when you hear the story and you hear, I mean, the stats, I'm still like, and I'm, you know, I'm not a math guy, but those sound large. It's a staggering number when you think of the scale of the issue. And so, Josh, for a company like Bridgestone, when you talk about needing other people to come to the table and be a part of this, it doesn't sound like it's a real hard conversation to get to yes on how can we help. But maybe from the Bridgestone side, where did we get started and why did we decide to get started in the space?
Yeah, we got started. It's been I think we're on year five now with Bridgestone, and some of that happened. We had others that were involved there, and the partnership began. And I think it's evolved. I think we started as most probably would, where you're a financial contributor, you're trying to understand it, and you hear about the stories, and of course, you're in. I mean, if you have the opportunity to support an organization that's combating something of this topic, and you hear about the details and you say, no, not that one, it's very interesting, you know, a turn. And from a Bridgestone standpoint, you know, going back to our founding, you know, making really our focus on serving society. We talk about our EA commitment that Bridgestone has, talk about what really matters. I mean, this is something that is in our communities, where we live, where we work. So, you know, our involvement just makes total sense based on our, you know, our focus and what we find important as a company. So I think it's a great partnership. I think it's going to continue to be great. But as we're expanding that and bringing in others, which I'm sure we'll talk about more, you know, I just see that it was a no-brainer for us. And again, goes back to the heart of the foundation of how Bridgestone was founded.
Yeah, and the connections I'm assuming that we have, right? I mean, the customers, the dealers that we serve, we have our own network that is tied into this initial community that Truckers Against Trafficking is trying to engage.
You think about engaging those communities, as Esther pointed out, there's so many details to this topic and this crime that most aren't aware of, and I'll just add this detail really quickly. We did a coalition build last year in Nashville with TAT. And it was, I think, mind-blowing to a number of the attendees that were there to say just in Tennessee alone, in that year, over 70% of the counties in Tennessee had at least one reported crime of human trafficking in that year. So it's not just your big cities and all the myths that you see in movies. This is
your community.
It is in your communities,
yeah.
And where we live and we play, and where our customers and our partners and our dealers all serve, it just makes sense to really grow this partnership further.
Well, I know you mentioned what really matters, right? We've had Sarah Correa and others from our team on the podcast to talk about that platform and what it really represents. And I had a note here that was, this is one of those things that it really represents, right? Because we talk about what's good for society is good for business, but are we making a positive, lasting impact on the communities that we serve beyond the business, right? And this is one of those that would seemingly fit in that bucket. Josh, you talked a little bit about, we start with financial contributions. It's a cause we want to help. You mentioned something, a coalition build, right? Maybe how have we looked to mindfully, I guess, grow the activities? And Esther, I guess then to build on that, what do you look for from partners, right, to make the impact?
Yeah, so we've grown in financial involvement, but more so in the, you know, looking at it from really a partnership and not just a transaction, is we've brought in resources, we've brought in other partners. I mean, going to marketing resources, anything we can, and understand where we can lean in and provide resources. And those resources might be directly from Bridgestone, pulling in other parts of our team. They're also pulling in partners, you know, and we just had our Q4 kind of in the end of year recap in December, and we've already hit the ground running this year, bringing in Bridgestone's partners that help us fill the gaps of the needs of TAT and as an organization. And those partners, when you get people involved, and you know, we talk about awareness, the more you tell them that story, it's actually was really, you know, uplifting to see how quick they were in, and at multiple levels, and the response to Esther and I both was fantastic. So bringing in those partners, spreading the word, spreading awareness, and then internally doing it as well. You know, we're 50,000 plus teammates in North America, Bridgestone.
Yeah.
We rolled out our own anti-human trafficking policy last year as well, which is another great step that any organization can take. Doesn't cost you any money really to do it. Just put in the work and take the action, right?
Set the value.
Yeah. Set the expectation as a core value of your business. We had recorded nearly 30,000 of our teammates took that training. So 30,000 is a small chunk of the population in the U.S., but it's 30,000 more sets of eyes and ears out there thinking and looking at this, and the responses have been great. Again, any of our partners, that's step one, and anyone that wants to get involved, step one. You know, you don't even have to financially contribute to the organization, just get involved in combating the crime. You know.
And that's where I would have to say, I guess it starts, is contacting people in the industry, looking for partners to establish some collaboration. But what I guess, Esther, do you look for from the TAT side, from partners, and how can they really help you make the impact?
Yeah, well, what just talked about Bridgestone and their involvement is an absolute phenomenal example of what we look for in partners. I mean, they truly are a North Star partner, because not only, you know, are they hitting all those levels of training and adopting anti-tip policies and spreading awareness and amplifying the message and providing financial support, but they're also really being a network leader for TAT, and, you know, enabling using their assets, infrastructure, and capabilities on TAT's behalf, which we would never be able to do as a nonprofit on our own. And so when he talks about true partnership, that is, that's the key, is, you know, that it's not just a company kind of financially supporting a nonprofit that's doing good work. No, it's fusing those values together and being able to lean on additional skills and resources and capabilities that are force multipliers in this work. TAT would never be able to be at a CES conference and be able to share about some of our new developments or our work or this issue for that matter. And so, and I will also note, it often starts with leadership. You know, having leadership buy-in and leaders who, are willing to leverage those capabilities on behalf of something that's going to make our society better, that's going to make a difference in other people's lives, even when, you know, it doesn't affect Bridgestone's bottom line. It's an enhanced social impact, not a business impact necessarily, although we would argue that, and Josh would agree, you know, that what's good for people and for our communities is also good for business. Yeah. And so
we hear that,
not only is it the right thing to do, but it also is great from a business standpoint as well.
And I guess, I mean, you work with partners across the industries in trucking like this. What are maybe some of the other groups that are very impactful that you maybe have continued to build out, or where are areas in the industry that you're continuing to look for partners to continue to build out?
Yeah, so because we started in trucking, that's where, you know, some of our foundational partners are. So, you know, I think of Bridgestone, I think of UPS, I think of Travel Centers of America, who have done a lot of the same things and have a different role because they have those brick and mortar locations. And so we've had multiple truck stop employees who have won our Harriet Tubman Award for the either the call that they made or the actions that they did that led to the recovery of a victim of human trafficking, that are just truly inspiring. But beyond trucking, we've also, you know, as I noted, we've expanded quite a lot over the last 15 years. And so we're now working heavily in the bus industry, in both the transit, school transportation providers, as well as Motor Coach. And so Coach USA is one of our major partners, also serves on the TAT board. And then most recently, the industry that we've begun working with is the energy industry. And that was another industry that really came to us and said, hey, we want something like what TAT offers to the trucking industry for our industry, because we know that we could be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And so we've built out a lot of partnerships within the energy industry as well. And then shortly, and then we also have a big part of our work is working with law enforcement partners, as we kind of noted at the beginning, because they're a critical stakeholder in this work. And so we've partnered with leaders in all 50 states. We've expanded that work into Canada as well. So we're actively working in a number of provinces there, as well as state agencies who are working with both law enforcement and transportation. Pretty much wherever you go, you'll probably run into TAT if you're on the roads at any point.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah. And I would even add further, I mean, we've done joint projects with Boys and Girls Club. Yeah. Because when you talk about awareness and education, you're really coming at this topic from both sides, both educating those on what to look for and educating, you know, our younger parts of our community to avoid being a victim, period. You know, so a dual education kind of squeezed toward driving results.
Yeah, and if I can add real quick, you know, in a five-year span from a study by Polaris, 41% of calls that truckers made involved minors. And so we know that this crime really affects our children in substantial ways. And so one of the things that we've done more over the last couple of years is looking at what are some ways that TAT and our partners can be part of those preventative efforts. Right, when we know that there's a lot of vulnerabilities that children experience just because they're kids, and because of online, you know, activity and presence. And so partnerships like with Bridgestone and Boys and Girls Club, or through our Busing on the Lookout program, we've been able to help equip adults who are interacting and kind of make up that transportation ecosystem for kids, that they're trained and that they know when to step in on behalf of a child that may be being groomed by a potential trafficker.
Well, we talk, we're here at CES, and we did a panel together, and, you know, one of the topics of that conversation, because of the Consumer Electronics Show, is just this idea of data, right? And we, our listening audience here, our teammates at Bridgestone, right, we've talked a lot about our mobility solutions and being able to capture data, what it can do for business, for us, for our customers, and make it an impactful thing in different areas in decision making. It's no different for Truckers Against Trafficking, right? You know, the more data, the better you can attack a problem. What is maybe the approach right now to the types of data that you're looking for, but also how able are you to get the data that you need?
Yeah, that is a great question, because it's a huge challenge that we face for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of siloed work that, you know, maybe capturing little bits of data, but on a large scale or on a national scale, there's not anyone who is tracking that kind of data consistently and using the same metrics, because everybody has a different goal in what they want from their data, right? And so, and then you have, you know, complexities within law enforcement that make it hard to understand. I mean, we can make efforts to learn from drivers when they make a call, but then how do we know what ends up happening in that case, if it actually is human trafficking? A lot of that sort of continuum of the story is hard to quantify. So we're looking to explore new ways to capture data as an organization. One of the ways that we're doing that is through our new app, and we're launching that here at CES, which is going to provide TAT with some unique data related to how many folks are using our app when they're making calls. It also has capabilities related to geocaching and kind of location, so that no matter where a driver is or an individual is, they will have access to the most the closest human trafficking hotline or to those authorities that could potentially intervene. So there's a lot of exciting stuff that we're hoping to capture via our app, but I would just say, you know, there's still a lot of gaps and a lot of learning that we need to do. And so hopefully that will be something in the future that I'll have a better answer for, quite honestly.
Well, it's a continued area of focus, right, to try to understand. And I think we talked as well, Josh, like, data is now a huge part of what we do at Bridgestone. There's things we're trying to explore as well, because is there data we're tracking or things that we can start to explore that can help in a situation like this or a cause like this?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think about our journey to a solution, becoming a solutions company, and the companies that we invest with and our partners. I think there are a lot of avenues that we will be able to explore. You think about our acquisition of Azuga Telematics Company, which you talk about wanting to know locations, being able to report and have on the spot data, knowing not just what is going on, but being able to track where more easily. I think we have a lot of synergies that we'll be able to create with our technology and our investments and things on the, down the road. I think to part of what Esther's saying, and we talked about it earlier, is having the data is one thing. Getting the data is the struggle. And, you know, I've learned more, and I know Esther's seen it a ton. Even getting law enforcement agencies' data to transpond between each other and keep all of that together. So I think as we all collectively have to work toward it, and hopefully Bridgestone continues to be able to drive that with key partners, I think we'll make further strides. But the consistency and the follow-through of data, I would say, is step one. And I think we can play a role in that through partnerships and our own investments that we've made in companies and acquisitions and things like that.
No, opportunity is there, right, to continue exploring. I guess maybe as we wrap up our time together, I know we're here at CES this week in early January is when we're recording this. This week, January 11th, is Human Trafficking Awareness Day. So there are these milestone dates on the calendar to raise awareness, to have people reflect. You talk about the launch of the app happening right now as we're at CES. So that's a big thing happening. There's a rebrand, I think, taking place for Truckers Against Trafficking. What is the year ahead? A start fresh new year, but like, what does the future hold for TAT and for this issue as we collectively approach it?
Yeah, well, that's a dangerous question for an executive director because, you know, there's a lot. But
we can go through the list.
The big
that's
stuff,
fine. Yeah.
The big stuff is certainly the launch of our app. We really want to get that into as many hands as possible on those phones so that no matter who you are, where you are, and you come across a potential victim, that you know exactly what to do. And if you don't know what to do, on the app, you can, you know, type in some red flags that you're seeing, and it will be able to help enhance that whether or not what you're seeing might be human trafficking. We often talk about seeing multiple indicators, right? Because again, this is a crime that has nuance. It has relationship dynamics, it has trauma. And so being able to have a little more specific than just a static, you know, checklist to be looking at is gonna be really helpful. So of course we want the app. We also, you know, as we talk about the partnership with Bridgestone, over the years, while we started really focused on drivers and drivers being those eyes and ears out on the road, we've grown so many of our partnerships with corporations that are huge, right? And have employees that also need to understand this information and get involved. And so we're leaning into how can we help our corporate partners, not just from a driver standpoint, but also from a back office staff to executives, anyone within the organization, be equipped and trained to know what to do and how to be part of the solution. So we've got a lot of exciting things. We do have a rebrand on the horizon. We may have some other very exciting training assets coming that I can't talk about quite yet.
That's what a tease is for,
that's
right?
That's right.
Called
that's
a tease.
Right.
Things on the road. And a nice segue to set up maybe for Josh, right? She's talking about helping our corporate partners, helping learn more. I mean, at Bridgestone, what should we expect to see more of as we look forward with this relationship?
Well, I think you can expect to see a continued involvement in playing a role in that. That can be through any sort of expertise, any sort of internal resources, but really driving partnerships that we have that we continue to pull in. I think we're going to see that probably at much higher levels than we've leveraged in the past, because we know there's needs of the organization to grow and to continue to drive awareness and drive, you know, results. I mean, we're really trying to not just have people know, we want people to know so we can help mitigate and eliminate the crime, right? So I think our heights of our involvement of our partners is just going to continue to ramp up. And I think it'll help accelerate a lot of the ideas and the things that Esther wants to do and the team at TAT. So. Looking forward to it.
It'll be good. Well, thank you both so much for taking the time here at the Consumer Electronics Show to talk to us about this very important topic. It's exciting things that Bridgestone is doing, exciting that there is so much involvement in both, whether it's from partners or others across the industry, to try to make a positive impact on this very serious issue. So Esther, thanks so much for taking the time. Good to see you and chat to you. Josh, thanks for being here as well. I'll tell our listeners at home, remember, if you like this episode, you want to listen to more of the Thrive podcast, you can find us on any of your podcast platforms of choice. We're also available in video on the Bridgestone YouTube page, so just search us there. And you can watch if you want to watch us as we just talk to each other while we're sitting here. It's an interesting thing. But remember that if you have a comment, a question, a topic idea of a future episode, you can always drop us an email as well at the Thrive podcast at bfusa.com. I'm Keith Cawley, always reminding you to keep on keeping on. And remember that at Bridgestone, today, tomorrow, together, we thrive. Be good, everybody.